Hi, I'm Scott Clapson here on Perspectives in Healthcare. I am here today with Karen Larson. How are you, Karen?
I'm very good today. Thank you, Scott.
Good. Thank you for joining me. So, Karen, you and I are here today to talk about our experience at a recent healthcare conference that we went to in Portland, yeah?
Yes. It was very exciting.
Hugely exciting. How did you feel about it? And do you want to tell our listeners what this conference was about?
Oh, it was a real wonderful opportunity to see where we've come in the transformation process in Oregon healthcare. And I had no idea what was involved. And I did attend the summit last summer and was very enthused about what I learned and how things are being considered. But this summit was more data was presented about where we are, and so much enthusiasm. I encountered many, many people. I even encountered somebody from the IRS that was there.
Really?
Yes. It was a compilation of all the people that you could imagine who might have an interest in what's going to happen in Oregon healthcare, and the great knowledge that we are being watched by other states. And so to be part of this for me is like being on the, you know, on the little ship that's getting bigger and starting to make more of an impact on how healthcare can be done. So that's just my overall view. I have more specific.
Yeah, there was over 1,000 people at this conference.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And yeah, that's the thing for me that stands out the most is how many people from all these different sectors, right? You and I are both obviously connectors. We're into networking and meeting people and hearing people's stories and learning how everything fits together. And just seeing all of these people, because there were only about 100 of us community members, right? We're, I guess you'd call us lay people because we either volunteer with community-based organizations. You and I both happen to sit on the All Care Health Community Advisory Council. And that's how we got the opportunity to go. But I meet so many incredible people and find out about all these really innovative things. And I'm like, ooh, well, who do you work for? And how can we hook up with you and duplicate this in Curry County? It's really cool.
It's very cool. And being on the Community Advisory Council has been such a privilege for me personally, as well as just knowing more about this community. What people face in view of healthcare or even health, just mental health, it was a wake up call for me to be involved, and then of course a huge learning curve to understand all the agencies that are being either collapsed or reorganized within Oregon healthcare systems, all the effects of it. So I had a huge learning curve. And I feel like this summit, I got a little closer to understanding more and a little more able to ask the questions that mean something, that really have some impact later.
Well, powerful questions, right?
Powerful Remember? Questions. That's
yeah.
right.
We're going to another training. All Care's been very helpful, right? Because there's a lot of acronyms and the healthcare industry is kind of confusing. And I had the same problem. I've been on maybe about a year longer on the council than you. And, yeah, when I first became involved, I was like, are you kidding? Like, I don't understand. You're talking in alphabet soup is what they call it. And so last year, Vanessa Becker, one of the people that they bring in to work with us, I remember when she said that at our last training, and ask powerful questions, you know, those questions that kind of move things forward. And yeah, I've been trying to do that as well, right, in all areas of my life. So it's cool that you're doing the same thing.
It requires thought. Mm-hmm. And all of this has been motivating for me, very motivating. I took very good notes at the conference that apply really to my interest level. But I want to say that one of my first experiences at a roundtable, I think it was one breakfast on the first day, I talked to a dentist who has been brought in to work. He's an Advantage Care dental provider. And he started his conversation that morning. He was not happy looking. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He was grumpy about the process of being a dentist and how difficult it is and the demands of the new system. And the next day I saw him, he was engaged. He was interested. He was a different person. And I just like thinking about how much getting together and talking about these things matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot that dentists have to do with patients that may have never had dental care.
Mm-hmm.
I really listened to what the doctors I spoke to had to say about their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're going to be the providers of our care. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of these people haven't, right? We talk a lot about that many of these people that were just kind of all of a sudden, oh, hey, you're all on the Oregon Health Plan now. And many of them have never had insurance or the opportunity to see a healthcare provider. And then, as Karen just alluded to for our listeners, with the Oregon Health Plan, it has changed recently with the Affordable Care Act. So now they're doing what they call dental health integration and also behavioral health or mental health and addictions integration into the process. So it all becomes one, and kind of de-siloing. We'll address those in some future podcasts with some other people from AllCare and the Oregon Health Authority. But it's so interesting to talk about that, right? That these people have never had the opportunity to say, hey, yeah, I have these things in my mouth that I need to get fixed. And, you know, it's not just like a routine dental visit, right? That can really be a challenge because you're going through a whole health history.
Yes. And if we want to talk more about that, I find that the challenge to the provider, the dentist, is, well, one good thing that's happening that I'm very excited about is that now children who are brought into foster care have to be seen by a dentist within 60 days.
It's good. I don't know exactly what the dates are.
It might even be 30.
Yeah.
For some reason, it just popped out of my head. But within a very short period of time, they need to be evaluated.
I think it might be 30.
And children may never have had the experience of being mm-hmm. in a dentist chair. They may have been traumatized,
mm-hmm.
which is like, it likely is that they
raise
were
raise your
traumatized.
Hand if you've been traumatized by a dentist. My hand is up. You can't
but not,
see it.
Not traumatized by a dentist, but traumatized in their life.
Oh, well, yeah.
And they've come to a dentist and they are so scared. And so we're asking these dentists to really be a different kind of dentist.
Yeah.
You know, not with a patient who's come there, haven't had an appointment, you know, they just have an appointment for a dental cleaning or whatever, but they have a traumatized child in their chair. So I understand that there's a support system that has to be in place. I actually spoke to the president, the CEO of Advantage Dental at this conference,
mm-hmm.
who's a very incredibly wonderful guy. And he's aware of this.
Yeah.
He's aware. It's not something like he's saying, well, my guys in my dental practice will now be doing this.
Yeah.
No, he's entirely engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So these are exciting times.
Trauma-informed care is actually what they call that. And there's a lot of work being done in the state of Oregon around that, right? This kind of awareness of, and for me, I guess I was more expressing like the process of going to a dentist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has traditionally been very evasive, you know, their drills and, you know, hands in your mouth and things like that. And it can be very traumatizing if you're a young person to be in that situation with a stranger, right? So there is trauma with the dentist, but yeah, you bring up a really good point about trauma-informed care, that there's stuff that happens to us sometimes in our lives or to other people in their lives that shape their experience for when they go to their healthcare provider and their ability to have that be a positive experience for them, right? And this is trauma-informed care is a very real thing. And there's a lot of providers, dentists, counselors, all sorts of people that are being in discussions.
That's right.
About trauma-informed care. It's a really good, I actually think we should do a podcast on that in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of people that aren't touched by trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be something that shows up late in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe something the dentist gets the first hit on, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have more to say about
Absolutely. That's why I brought you here. And for our listeners, you can't see, Karen's made a whole bunch of notes. And I really appreciate that when people have thought a lot about what they want to talk about with me.
I want to discuss that I became aware that there are hidden disparities in laws that have disabled populations of people from getting health care. And this is something I learned at the summit. And that are not, they don't have anyone specifically advocating for them. There's a group that, this was part of the discussion on health equity of the first day. And in 1996, there was an agreement made that involved the Compact of Free Association called COFA. And it was an agreement to allow Asian Pacific American population to come to the United States and work. But the agreement disallowed them from getting any kind of health care for basic care, meaning they can't get Medicaid. And this was a lifetime agreement. They would never get health care. We have in Oregon a population of over 3,000 Pacific Asian Americans that cannot have any access to health care. So I learned that there's a Senate bill that was proposed and is being written actually for the 2017 legislature in Oregon to amend this. And the 3,000 Asian Americans in Oregon are the third largest population of this group mm-hmm. in the United States. That kind of disparity is what health equity is about.
Absolutely.
I thought it was one of the most primal examples of what people like me who used to have normal jobs and just didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't think about it. Now I have to think about it. And now it's such a reality. And there isn't anybody that's not touched by the fact that people of this large population do not have health care. Mm-hmm. So that was one huge learning moment for me. And another was sitting in a group with the county officials of different counties. And specifically, the innovation that was possible because of the establishment of the CCO model that began to cross regions, crossed into counties, where you have now a regional area mm-hmm. that the health, that the coordinated care organization covers. So this enables people to see that there are cracks in the system because of how the healthcare is being how members of the healthcare organization are being served in those different counties. And one session I sat in included commissioners who were incredibly engaged in the healthcare process from Lane County, Benton County, Deschutes, Jefferson, and Grant counties. And they really inspired me to imagine how the county presence, the county commissioner presence in the transformation and the engagement of healthcare in Oregon counties can be so powerful. So that was another experience where I came back thinking, wow, there's all this we can do in Curry County now that hasn't been done, that hasn't been talked about yet, hasn't been elevated enough. And that was pretty exciting.
It's very exciting because All Care Health does cover three counties, although they have a community advisory council for Curry, Josephine, and Jackson counties. Their provider area for their Oregon Health Plan clients does cross counties, right? And that's one of the things we've been learning is kind of the ways that our work here in Curry County overlaps with what's happening in Josephine and Jackson and how we can kind of learn. Right? We're in different situations, but we're still a group of community members that care, that are volunteering to come together along with staff from like public health and different places like that together to make these things happen. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm glad you went to that one.
It was really encouraging. I basically sat there and thought, wow, just over and over. We haven't heard the end of this. This is the exciting part, is that we're talking about this and we're just at the beginning stages of having the transformation begin to affect the populations that we know. what has been done in Curry County. We were talking about Ready Ride. We were talking about the ability for people then to have certain obstacles to care.
You just said Ready Ride, and I don't know if our listeners know what that is. You want to tell them what that is? Because you just recently used that.
I did use, yes, I did. Ready Ride is provided by to all care members if they need transportation to healthcare facilities. I'm not sure how extensive that is.
It's called NEMT, non-emergent medical transportation.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, there's a lot of acronyms, right? Yeah. Alphabet soup, as they say. And yeah, so it would be things like doctor's appointments, but also I've heard some things about, like, there's talk about, like, your food and your nutrition might actually come into the picture at some point, or like a trip to a gym, right? Because one of the great benefits of being an all care member too is we can join the gym out in Harbor now, South Coast Fitness, I believe it is. And they're looking, right? The lady at our last meeting was, they're trying to build collaborations around Curry County. It's what's amazing about all care is now if I want to go to the gym and get healthy and participate in my own wellness, right? Mm-hmm. I can, and I have the opportunity to, whereas a low-income person, I might not have had that opportunity before.
I want to tag onto that, because I was at the gym today and it seems like every time I go, I'm probably the youngest one there. I'm 62. Mm-hmm. And to have our aging population be getting exercise is one of the best things they can do. Mm-hmm. So to encourage that by a healthcare initiative, like All Care, what All Care is doing, it gave me incentive. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no obstacle as far as the cost, and it's just about me being able to get there and making myself get up and go. So those are just obstacles that I can overcome, but they're not big for me. But, you know, in our disparate community, people live far away, and if this was a offered to them, it would it could make a difference, especially in the wintertime.
I'm Scott Clapson here on Perspectives in Healthcare on KCIW. I'm here today with Karen Larson from the All Care Health Community Advisory Council. That's a mouthful. We are here today on KCIW talking about our experience recently at some conferences in Portland. If you enjoy these podcasts, we encourage you to donate to KCIW. We are a nonprofit. We do greatly appreciate your donations. And we are very excited to have this new program on the air called Perspectives in Healthcare. We're interviewing different people and their experiences in this Oregon healthcare transformation process. So Karen, at this conference, it was actually two conferences, right? There was actually a third thing too for early learning that I guess was happening that evening, which I don't know if anybody that's a volunteer went to, but the two that we went to, Pathways to Health Equity, Success Means Getting There Together, was the one on Monday, which was amazing, right?
Yes.
You talked about that earlier, kind I of did. The Advantage Dental guy in the morning on Monday, kind of the, you could see that momentum or that enthusiasm building as you went through Monday, kind of hearing about like all of these things about equity and having equity unpacked for all of these. I went to some amazing breakouts that day. That was the best day for me because it was less data filled and more people filled. Right. And we're learning that it's really about this transformation is really about the people. And then the second day, which was more data filled, which was the day that had more people. The first day was, you know, a few hundred people, maybe like 500, I think, or something, maybe less than that even. But the second day was over 1,000, and that was Oregon's Coordinated Care Model Summit, highlighting outcomes and promoting excellence in the Coordinated Care Model. That day was packed with stuff and information and data. And the first day, the rooms were, it was less people in the room, and I felt like there was more chance to engage with people. Day two, the rooms were packed with people, standing room only. People were sitting on the floor. It was hard to see the speaker way at the other football field end of the room. And it just felt a little bit less engaging on day two to me and a little more data driven, which is great, right? Because like you said, you met someone from the IRS and everything, but I certainly got more out of the equity day on day one. So I don't know how you felt about that, about the contrast of the two different days, or if you even noticed that.
I didn't notice, and I did notice, I tended to just gravitate toward the people I really wanted, you know, to talk to more. Mm-hmm. And that part, you know, I was aware entirely of the fact that we are in the middle of change. The whole coordinated care model is fascinating just to study on its own. But it was implemented in Oregon. It's the first of its kind in the nation. And that's why people are looking at it. It's a model of how to deliver health care differently than we've known it traditionally. So the whole idea of change never appeals to anybody. But a lot of the people that attended, especially the second day, I think they may have had to be there, maybe, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's kind of like they're part of this too. But I really felt the energy. I felt the energy of the change occurring. And that is why, you know, the enthusiasm just built about the fact that we have something special here. Mm-hmm. And even at the end, when we had a visitor from the Department of Health and Human Services, the regional director, and I can look at my notes and give you the name if you like, but I mean, that's a big deal. She's mm-hmm. making notes of what she's seeing there too. Mm-hmm. And this is going to go to she's a regional director. So.
Well, there was that one lady too that spoke from, right? She was from like the national office, like the Medicare office, or what was that office that she was from? I forget where she was from, but nationally they're watching. Like there was people from Washington, D.C. that work with the federal government that had come to speak to us. And yeah, it's just really cool to know that it's not just Oregon, right? We get sometimes lost in our little corner of Oregon and we forget that there's a whole rest of the world out there. And it was cool to have someone come from Washington, D.C. that's working on this stuff nationwide and access to care nationwide. And yeah, I really wish I could remember what office she was from, but I've never been to Washington, D.C., so I don't know all of those names either.
Oh.
But it was just so cool to see all these people mm-hmm. that came that are interested in this, that it's community members, yeah, and it's people on the Oregon Health Plan, yes, but it's all these people nationwide that are participating in this transformation.
And I got a strong sense that we have a lot to show for. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about data and metrics. I know they released the 2014-2015 results of, mm-hmm. I mean, they had a pamphlet that I brought back. I haven't really studied it, but it's all about data metrics. Mm-hmm. This is what they are using, all these agencies are using to show progress. And I want to say, I listened to a really good discussion, and I can't tell you which breakout session it was, but we had a presentation from the CEO of Trillium Healthcare, which mm-hmm. I think covers Lane County.
Yeah.
And at one point, he gave us all this data metrics and said, here's my story. And then he said, but I'm not really the one you should listen to. You should listen to this fellow named Chuck Moses. And he, I believe, was hired by Trillium to coach. I'm going to use that word. I don't know that he did, but I think that's what he does. To help people make change, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so what he taught us, he was a really engaging individual. And he basically said he had to introduce innovation to help providers take on the transformation in healthcare. And he mentioned the term, in quotes, scrub huddle. This was great because he was able to take a group of doctors and nurses and tell them, in this new transformation system, you might be dealing with a child in trauma, and this is what you need to be doing. And so he developed what's called the scrub huddle. And they were all the doctors and nurses on that particular given day who would approach a task, and they would get together and say, okay, today, how will we manage the situation if we are presented with a situation where we have to deal with one of the at-risk kids that will be comes in. So this is kind of a new system for them to have to deal with. But he felt like if they could take it like on a moment-by-moment basis, not deal so much with, you know, how are we overarchingly going to deal with this, but on any given day, look at the group you're with, ask them how we're going to deal with this situation. And I love that term, scrub huddle. It's just, it seems really empowering. And so we're all together on this and we know what we're going to do and we can make this happen. And he also said this, I'm going to quote this. He said, data, he was talking about data and metrics. He made a lot of jokes about that, you know, great. He said, data doesn't have to be perfect to be meaningful. He said, failure is our lesson and success is our outcome. And he put it in perspective for us and said, this data is important, but what's really important is on the day-to-day, how are we going to deal with what we have been given to do? Mm-hmm. And I would love to sit in a room with him for hours. He was so great. So that was one of the experiences I had with perspective on the whole data metrics, mm-hmm. because this, I hear a lot of this. I try to understand it. I try to interpret it. I try to ask myself how that's meaningful for where I live and what I do and what mm-hmm. I'm trying to get done. And I guess it's necessary. I'm familiar with the ACEs study that happened with Kaiser, I think back in the 90s.
And you know I'm going to ask you what ACEs is.
I can't remember.
ACEs is, it's something to do with early childhood trauma, right?
Yes. It's identifying the factors that in early childhood that lead to basically problems that we're dealing with today. Mm-hmm. So the study has a lot of credence, but it's been brought back into the to the attention of healthcare providers because it really does provide a lot of information about how you can address things very early. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could take this rabbit trail off in a whole direction, couldn't
well,
we?
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to do a podcast on ACEs too, right? This is what I'm hoping, right? Is these beginning podcasts of perspectives in healthcare will be us introducing some of these concepts to the wider community.
Yes, and there is so much that I keep telling myself that nothing we experience in our community is not related to a healthcare issue. And it could be mental health. That's been a powerful thing that's happened in other communities that has changed people's lives. One doctor I spoke to, if I may mm-hmm. continue, I got very excited about this, and I was able to even help him make a contact with AllCare. His name is Michael Harris. He's the chief of pediatric psychiatry at Oregon Health Sciences University in Portland. And he's created an interventionist program with families of seriously ill children and adolescents as well. And it's called the NIC program. And he's contracted with AllCare for families that have a seriously ill child or adolescent who experience really the disability of having to focus all of the family energy on this child or adolescent and the complexities of this. I can relate to this because I had a situation like this of my own where everything is dropped. You don't do normal things with the other kids in the family. You don't have time. You spend all your time making appointments, dealing with crisis, going to the ER, whatever it might be that child's illness presents. And Dr. Harris has interventionists that are available to work 24/7, be basically on call. They mm-hmm. don't live with the families, but they are available to them 24/7. If you have a middle of the night crisis, you can call, as a parent, you can call this interventionist who would direct you to the correct resource or cut through red tape if you get to a hospital situation and there's an issue. I think it's an amazing program mm-hmm. and one that can relieve the family of the stresses that they're encountering, get the rest of the family on kind of a normal life, and even get adolescents and kids back in school that are sick but need care, special care. So this is profound because this has such a ripple effect mm-hmm. for everybody involved in those situations. And that's just kind of a cell of troublesome stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's brilliant. And I hope the best for Dr. Harris, really. It's a wonderful program.
I would like to go back to something you were talking about a couple minutes ago, about all of these things in our lives that have to do, that make up our health, right? And our healthcare experience. Social determinants of health, right? This idea that one of the ladies, and we were talking about this before the podcast, and we can't remember her name, and Cambridge, or what's that? There's a university back east. There's a big university. I think, is it Cambridge is in
New
England?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's Cambridge. And she was saying how there's this Million Healthier Lives campaign. You can Google it. It's Million Healthier Lives. Can find out her name that way. Really great lady. And she's been traveling the country and collecting these stories of people. And she talked about how 90% of our healthcare does not happen in the provider's office, whether that be the dentist's office or the mental health professional or the primary care person. 90% of our healthcare happens outside, and that's the social determinants of health. Where we live, work, and play contributes to our health. And that's amazing to me that this is being addressed, right? That it's so, we're coming from this other model, I guess you could say, of it being so profit driven. And I remember last year at these conferences, one of the speakers said, what if empty hospital beds were more profitable than full hospital beds? Changing our perspective. We're coming from this perspective of, you know, get everybody on prescription drugs, you know, all of this like sick care, and we're transitioning to well care in the state of Oregon with the most vulnerable population. Right? The people that are low income, as you said, these people that are experiencing disparities for whatever reason. I went to an amazing breakout about transgender healthcare on the first day. And that was incredible to me. The things that I learned, the things that I experienced as a queer person, you know, like that's why I went, because I realized that there are transgender people here in Curry County. There's a lot of queer people here in Curry County. And traditionally, there are a lot of disparities, not just in the transgender community, but also in the LGBT community at large. And the stuff that I learned and the things that I, you know, heard about that are happening around the state, and the people that I went up to and talked to afterwards and told them and said, oh yeah, one of the biggest transgender advocates lives in the Rogue Valley. And just thinking about all these connections that we can make around the state just by hearing other people's stories at these things, whatever it is, whatever conference or summit that we go to, that we have the opportunity to go to, and the people that we meet that can impact our lives. And community-based organizations was another example. I heard a lot about that with the social determinants of health and this idea that nonprofits and community groups that do a lot of this work are really where a lot of the change is happening across the state, right? It is happening in the healthcare industry, but there's so much like metrics and data and things in that industry, and so much that's being done, that the real story changing and the real impetus for change is happening in these community-based organizations with these volunteers that were acting as the bridge from these 13 coordinated care organizations around the state. And some of them overlap, like some are in two counties, or, you know, one of them is partially Douglas County, but not the whole Douglas County. And it really is people like us, Karen, that are really helping to lead this charge and talking to people, you know, in the community that might be experiencing these disparities or don't know what it is to be in the driver's seat of their own healthcare, and that they don't understand because they've never had the opportunity to have healthcare, and that they can speak up and say, hey, no, I've really got this problem, and no, I really need you to address it, and I'm going to keep calling until you help me figure it out. And people don't realize that because we've been so disempowered, right, and had not had the opportunity. And yeah, it's really cool. And I'm so glad that you're a part of this too. We were in the Ford leadership cohort together, right?
Yes.
That's how we met. And I said, hey, you asked me some questions. I said, well, why don't you come and check out the council and see if it'd be something you'd be interested in? And the next thing I knew, you were this such engaged person. And I'm so happy that you got the opportunity to go and learn this stuff too. And I'm looking forward to including more people in this change.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's been remarkable getting to know you because you seem to know everybody. You're the mover and shaker that is kind of a touchstone for at least, you know, understanding which way you could point somebody, you know, yeah. Which is really great, actually, in this small town. A whirlwind of information, mm-hmm. so to speak. But
yeah.
You've said a lot about what I'm hopeful for, too, is the empowerment of the human being who just needs to be heard, mm-hmm. and how great it is that if you have any kind of concern that you feel you can't talk about, that you can talk to your care provider about and have somebody champion you back into your health situation, not keep you from it. And that very valuable and so mm-hmm. priceless. And we haven't even touched on mental health, but
we can.
I want to say that I want to say that what I learned, I was writing to myself some notes after I left the conference. And if I may, I'd like to read it to you. What I took away from that was the reality that change can begin, and it can begin and did begin in Oregon with mandates and statutes, things that changed legally. But I see those only as the notes on the page of the music, of the symphony. And that what makes programs of real change come to life is the orchestration of the moving parts, which involve people of all types, and with diverse motives, even coming together, that doesn't even matter. But they have a common purpose that we need to move this bus, move this bus out of the way and be heard, and not in a cacophony of voices, but in a symphony of voices. So I'm hoping that everything we do here bumps that bus a little further out of the photograph that we need to see for good, healthy communities. I've come in touch with so many things. There's a place called strongtown.org, which talks about how we look at ourselves as a town. And I'm sitting here in this small community thinking, this is what we need to look at, too. You know, how do we want to be as people? How do we want to be safe here? I brought up safety at the last community meeting that we had with All Care, and it's on people's minds. And when it's on their minds, it becomes either an anxiety or a fear comes up, or they get angry, and we have a different reaction than when we talk about it and come together and dialogue. Even if we don't solve the problem, at least we all hear each other talk. So now I'm going down another rabbit trail.
No, you're not, because I wrote down being heard, and that's so important, right? It's not a rabbit trail. It's really, we live in a culture where we're not used to listening to each other anymore. We're so busy tweeting or Facebooking or doing all of these things, we've forgotten to listen to each other. And that's a big part of this transformation, is going back to hearing each other. The traditional model of healthcare was not working. And there's only so much money ultimately. So what are you going to do? You're going to look at the current situation and say, how can we do this better? And a big part of it was there was a lot of people that weren't being listened to, but money was being spent. And how do we start listening to people? So it's not end up with them going to the emergency room every time they have a problem, but actually getting them in to see a dentist or a doctor or a mental health professional or whatever that need happens to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that the barriers can be dealt with. Mm-hmm. We can find a way. I did not know as much as I do today about how the Oregon legislature works. I know basically, but I don't know that you could actually be heard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had to go through some channels, or you had to have, I don't know, a march on Salem or something. But really, I'm dealing with my own ignorance of public policy, of mm-hmm. a lot of things. So for what it's worth, I'm growing into a better citizen from being involved in all this, for what that's worth. But I hope it's useful.
Yeah, you're Definitely. Me too. I'm learning so much. I had no clue, but I knew that I had seen all these people that were going to the free medical clinic at St. Timothy's, and I heard that they were all going to be put on the Oregon Health Plan. And I was just like, so all these people that come here every Tuesday, and there's 20 to 30 of them sometimes, are all going to just magically have healthcare. Snap. They've all got healthcare. It's not going to work quite like that. And so when I found out that I had the opportunity to participate and educate myself, right? Because you pointed out that somehow, I don't know if it's my big ears and my big mouth or what, but I end up getting engaged in a lot of different things. And I thought, well, I should be engaged in this because this is going to impact me too. Because I was one of those people that was using that free medical clinic at St. Timothy's. And I was concerned about my own healthcare as well. And all of us and how we would access what we needed. So absolutely.
Well, I want to add something too, because having a microphone is really lots of fun.
Yeah.
When I have a lot on my mind, I wish I had one of these in my house. When I was at the summit in the summertime in Bend, I was able to view a film. It was called The Raising of America, which we were offered. Most people didn't attend it because it was like the last thing at night. It was late. Everybody was just tired from the long day of sessions. But I was so glad I attended. I come from a finance background. I worked for a financial services company for almost 30 years. And this film started by introducing Wall Street investors talking about what a good investment it is to be concerned about healthcare, about children at a young age. And they were actually proponents of, I'm not quite sure because it's been a while since I saw the film, but it got my attention immediately. I'm listening to a couple of Wall Street bankers talk about how important it is to invest, and they were putting their money where their mouth was. It's a beautiful film, and I wish we could see it. And I think we have access to it if we wanted to.
Really? What's it called again?
The Raising of America.
I'm writing it down because I think we're going to have to find out how to get a screening of that in Brookings.
I think I should start a once a week gathering and have all these things that I want people to see. Just put it in front of them.
You know? We could. They used to do the first Friday salon at the library.
Oh.
We could pick. I know that, yeah, our tech Tom is doing the thumbs up. There wasn't tons of people, but sometimes there'd be as many as 30 people there. And it doesn't even have to be a Friday evening. It could be a different time of, yeah, but this is a great idea. And we could, there's some other documentaries, right? Unnatural Causes is another one that we screened, at a different summit before you were able to join the Community Advisory Council, that I was told by All Care that we could probably get access to as well. That would be cool. That's something I've been taught. Karen, hey, we just had a healthcare documentary series birthed here in Brookings, Oregon. Film is one of my passions. So
yeah.
Yay. The Raising of America. So look for that in 2016. The Raising of America showing at the library in Brookings.
It will be really good if we can get two people to watch it. It's one of those films where you watch it and you think, wow, people have thought a lot about this. I'm not the only one. And anything like that, it occurs to me that you show people this has been done. I think it takes a little bit of anxiety off of when you don't think anything's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are things happening in the world. There are people that think about things happening in the world, and they think about them from the perspective of economic impact, which I tend to do too, because it makes so much sense. Everything that we do is going to be eventually affecting us economically, being taken away or given.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at all sides, and there's hope. There's a lot of hope for us to find out what we need to know and people to help. So
yeah, go ahead.
That's
sorry.
The best thing I can say about the future of Oregon and in America.
Yeah, it's definitely you said taking from or giving, but I also like the thought of shifting, you know, the shifting of dollars from sick care to well care, and this idea of people participating in their own wellness with their coordinated care organization and whoever their provider is for whatever situation that they're in, and their community-based organizations and all of these other people. I mean, like I said, there were over 1,000 people at the second day of this conference, and it's really amazing. It's an honor to be a part of it. And I, every day, I'm telling someone something that I learned in Portland, and it's incredible because I haven't had much time to look over my notes since then. But at that last community advisory council meeting, Karen, where you gave that great feedback on your experience at the conference, it really told me that I was on the right path of sharing what I learned, right? Because that's why they sent us, right? It's important for us to go as bridges to the community and learn about this stuff so we can come back. And as we're doing now on this wonderful podcast on kciw.org, thank you so much. We're so grateful that we have this opportunity to tell these stories, right? And be heard about what we learned, because we both gave up time, right? It's a trip to Portland in the winter, and I don't know why they choose to do it in in the coldest part of the year, but they do, and it's such a great experience, and there's so many wonderful people that are participating in this healthcare transformation in Oregon.
Yes. Wouldn't it be great to invite them to Brookings for the summit in the winter?
I know, right? Ooh, would that be amazing if we could have...
Welcome to rural America.
Oh, welcome to rural. Hey, you hear that, All Care? What if we hosted a summit down here in Brookings? Maybe we could start it on a smaller level. I've talked with them about that, about doing a regional something here in Brookings. I wonder if we really could. Pretty amazing.
There's more to talk about.
There's so much more to talk about. You're coming back for a podcast in 2016.
Okay.
Later in 2016. This is probably going to air in January. Right after the new year. I'm definitely going to have you back and talk about some more stuff to do with this. So thank you so much, Karen Larson, for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Absolutely. I am Scott Clapson here on Perspectives in Healthcare. This is KCIW. If you enjoy these podcasts, we encourage you to donate. Your donations are tax deductible and we are a nonprofit. Thank you so much for listening to Perspectives in Healthcare, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.